The following message was given by brothers Robert Rios and Peter Yu in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, December 1st, 2019. The title of the message is The Principle of Material Offerings, 1. Scripture reading, Luke chapter 16, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 34. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. And Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44.
Good morning. Lord, we open up our being to you. Amen. Oh, thank you for your word. Amen. Especially as we come to this portion. Amen. We pray, oh, that we would be open to your speaking. Amen. That we would not be selective concerning your word. Amen. Receive all that you have for us. Amen. Oh, Lord, do supply all the saints. All with your rich speaking.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this is the first message of a series of five messages in this book of the Holy Word for Morning Revival, covering the material offerings and the Lord's move today. And the first message is on principles of offering. This is the first of two. And these messages were actually released by a brother Nee in the summer of 1948 during the resumption of his ministry. And this speaking was to a group of saints who had gathered for this training and who had consecrated themselves to the Lord's work. So Brother Nee was very clear and very strong in his speaking, and we need to understand the background under which this was spoken. Although it was spoken to those who had consecrated themselves, co-workers, this word is for everyone. Amen. Because this word comes from the Bible. The Bible has a lot to say concerning the matter of money, our wealth, our trusting in the Lord, concerning our daily necessities and our daily living. Amen. Our God is a rich God. He provides everything that we need. So there's no reason for us to be anxious. But yet we do experience it, right? So may this word, this kind of speaking, encourage us and strengthen us to give ourselves to the Lord for his service. Many of us in this room are laboring, serving in some capacity or other, and that should be the focus of our Christian life, our service to the Lord, not these other things. Praise the Lord that we have jobs. As we have them, sometimes we've lost them, but the Lord has been faithful, right? So we know. We just passed through a difficult economic situation a number of years ago, including me, but the Lord has been faithful. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. So I just want to cover these five points briefly that our brother covered in this portion, day one through day five. First, I'd like to, he speaks about this matter of mammon. And this word mammon is an archaic word. It's an ancient word that basically means wealth, riches. It has to do with earthly possessions, property, basically money. But when the Lord mentions this matter concerning money, he calls it mammon. He uses this particular word, mammon. And then in two portions in the word, in Matthew 6 and in Luke chapter 16, he says, "No household servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other." Then he says, "You cannot serve God and mammon." We are serving God, but the Lord says it's possible that we can serve mammon, indicating that mammon is an idol. What is service to God? It's service to God, right? But service to anything else other than God is an idol. So we need to be clear. Mammon, according to the Lord's own word, is an idol. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:9, when Paul entered Thessalonica and preached the gospel there. He wrote, "For they themselves report concerning us what kind of vengeance we had toward you, that you turned to God from the idols to serve a living and true God." We have turned from idols to serve a living and true God. Praise the Lord. I remember when I was first saved some time ago, I did have a few idols, actually little trinkets that my mother had set up for me for my protection. I had to throw those things away. And my mother was a little upset, but praise the Lord, later on she understood because she herself was saved. Amen. So we need to realize, first of all, that mammon is an idol. We don't give up just the sinful and worldly things. We also have to give up the idols in our life, including mammon. So often our problem with dealing with idols is that we don't realize that mammon is also an idol. So we need to be very clear that the Lord says that mammon is an idol. Once we realize that mammon is an idol, we'll realize that we cannot serve both God and mammon. So because that an idol is something that demands worship. It demands our all. It demands our whole being. An idol is also something that's apart from God, and it's actually in opposition to God, and God will judge it. You know, the children of Israel, the reason they were led into captivity was because of their idols. And archaeology shows us that once they came back from captivity, it's very difficult for archaeologists to find idols from the time period after the return of the children of Israel, because the Lord completely dealt with that. And the Lord needs to completely deal with this matter in our life too. So we must deal with mammon in a thorough and complete way. It needs to be removed because it is God's enemy and it usurps our worship to God. The second point that our brother touched was that deliverance from mammon is part of our salvation. I didn't really realize this before. It's a part of our salvation, just like deliverance from the flesh, from sin, from the world. Luke 18 through 19, there are three things that our brother brought out that are linked together, and they're all related to mammon, and that's the eternal life, the kingdom of God, and salvation. The first matter that was brought out was this matter concerning the rich young man. It says in Matthew that he was very rich. And he came to the Lord asking him what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And the Lord told him basically the Ten Commandments. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't commit adultery. You know, honor your father and mother. Don't lie and all these things. And he said, all these things have I done. And then from my youth. So he was a good young man, but the Lord told him, you need one more thing to be perfect, and that is to sell all you have and give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And that rich young man became sorrowful because he was very rich, wasn't willing to give up his wealth, and so he turned and walked away. And the Lord said, so the matter concerning eternal life depends on also our turning away from, you know, our mammon. Then the Lord spoke about how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. This is still in relation to that young man. So this matter of entering into the kingdom of God is also related to this matter of mammon. He said it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle. Am I reading that right?
Yeah.
It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Sorry. And then he goes on to say that, you know, all those who leave their wives and the children for the kingdom's sake will receive 100-fold more in this age and in the kingdom to come, eternal life. So sandwiched in between eternal life is the kingdom. So these two things are related together. And then in the next chapter, we see the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to see the Lord. He was short, so he went up to the tree. The Lord told him to come down, And then he went into his house to feast with him. And Zacchaeus, without being told, told the Lord, "Lord, half of my wealth I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything by way of, unrighteous way, that's the word I'm looking for, unrighteous way, then I give fourfold." So we realize that right away, and then the Lord said, "Today salvation has come to this house." Not just to Zacchaeus, but to the entire house. What a blessing. Zacchaeus right away experienced salvation and the joy of salvation. But also, you realize, right, just by that word, he lost 50% of his possessions, of his wealth. Not only that, if he had taken anything unrighteous from anyone, he had to restore fourfold. So we do know at least that Zacchaeus lost half of his wealth. And who knows, by the end, he may have been a poor man. But he had received salvation, and he was joyful. So salvation is related also to this matter of forsaking our mammon. Then the third item that I'd like to mention concerning this is that we all need to be rich before the Lord. For this depends on the matter of faith. We need to stand on the matter of faith. You know, our Father is rich. He wants us to be rich. He doesn't want us to be in poverty. He wants us to be rich before Him and poor before the world. This doesn't mean that we have to go out and spend all our money. We need to come before the Lord and allow the Lord to deal it with our heart and show us how He wants us to deal with us personally with regard to this matter. Just as we come to the Lord with regard to the matter of sin and the world and the flesh and all other kinds of idols, this also needs to be, we also need to come before the Lord concerning this. Basically, what the Lord wants us to do is transfer our wealth from the earthly bank to the heavenly bank. The Lord said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So if our heart is in the kingdom, that's where we will put our treasure. And the Lord, we have to realize the Lord is faithful. We are those who believe by faith, and we have to have a walk that is by faith, which includes our trusting in the Lord for our sustenance. So we need to give our all to the Lord. We need to serve the Lord with all of our heart. So we need to put everything aside and just, you know, serve the Lord. Then number four, in the Gospels, the Lord dealt with mammon by ordering it to be given to the poor. The Lord set the standard. He carried no money with him. You know, when they asked him to whether he paid the tribute tax or not, he didn't pull out a coin from his pocket. He asked them, "Show me a coin. Whose inscription is it? Caesar's? Render to Caesar's what is to Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And then he told the apostles, the disciples, "Carry no money with you, no purse," right, when you go out and preach the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, they were all there. They had left all, 120 of them, especially the disciples. They had left all and followed the Lord. And then the Spirit was poured out. The gospel was proclaimed by Peter. And no one told those 3,000 to forsake, you know, to sell their properties. But spontaneously, they did it. They followed the example of the apostles, and then the 5,000, and so on. We need to also realize that for the sake of our young ones who come after us, we need to set the example for them that we don't hold on to our mammon. We let it go for the sake of the Lord. We also have had examples. We wouldn't be able to give our all if it wasn't for those that came before us that gave their all, and we realize and we see how the Lord was faithful to them. There are so many stories. Our brother Peter told us one just last night concerning our sister Fanny Crosby. But I won't get into that. But the Lord is faithful. So we need to uphold and maintain this practice. Also, this is the fifth point, that he who gathers much had no excess, and he who gathered little had no lack. This is Second Corinthians chapter 8, but it's a quote from Exodus, where when the people gathered manna, those who gathered much had no excess, and those who gathered little had no lack. The Lord evens the plain concerning our sustenance, our living. The Lord is faithful. And we shouldn't expect that when we give that the Lord will bless. We should sow without expecting any expectation from the Lord. But we have to realize the Lord is faithful. I'm sure many testimonies can come out from this, from all of you, concerning how the Lord has been faithful in the past. The problem is that we forget. So praise the Lord that now, during this time, we are covering this matter in a thorough way, that the Lord will remind us, that we would enter into the reality, the experience of this matter of giving our all to the Lord, so that the Lord can have a way among us and in his recovery. You know, these past number of years, the Lord has been very faithful. We've seen how the Lord has multiplied beyond our wildest dreams. We never could have thought that the Lord would do what he has done in the past 5 years. Amen. So whatever the Lord offers us, provides for us, we have to realize that everything comes from him and everything should go back to him. The Lord will be faithful to, as we give, the Lord will provide more. As he provides more, we give more. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. So praise the Lord for the Lord's faithfulness for this word. May the Lord be gracious to all of us. May we not misunderstand this speaking. This is, you know, from God's word. May we seek to fully understand what the Lord is speaking to us today, so that we would not be, we would stay on the right track. I realize this is a personal matter for everyone when you touch the matter of money and wealth. We all need to come before the Lord, because the Lord is faithful. So praise the Lord.
This is a topic we normally don't do it. And we're going to finish our 62nd year history in New York City. And I was checking with a senior brother before we decided to go into this series of messages. And he told me, we have never done this before in New York City, in the history. And in our fellowship, I said, brother, we need to be faithful to the Lord and faithful to the saints. Because the Bible is very clear, to enter into the kingdom, to receive the eternal life, to enjoy the salvation. And that there are two persons in the Bible. One is Nicodemus. When that night he came to the Lord, and after what he witnessed, and he really want to know what a new teaching our Lord can give him. And our Lord gave him the way to enter into the kingdom. And the second person is the young ruler. And this is a very seeking one. He's not seeking for any other things other than eternal life. He has done well in the world. He has behaved well. He must be a good ruler as well. He's a young and yet very successful. He's seeking the eternal life. But the Lord told him, and you got to do this. It's a checkup. And he said, I've done everything. But his heart is for eternal life. But the Lord gave him the last test. You need to do one more thing if you want to be perfect, which means you want to be perfect. Remember the last verse in Matthew 5. And our Lord said, you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And the young ruler said, I want to be perfect. The Lord told him, go sell everything and give to the poor. If the story stops there and it's not perfect yet, the young man, young ruler can still make another fortune. But the Lord said, and then you follow me. Oh, that's a total bankruptcy. Who can do that? Our brother mentioned. There is another one, just right following them. When Peter and the disciples were shocked. So how can anyone get saved? They just forgot and did not realize. They forsook the boat, the net, all the livelihood, and everything, and followed the Lord. Because what they thought is the boat, the net, everything they give up, doesn't worth much. But that's all they had. So the Lord gave them an example of the poor, extremely poor widow. Our Lord is looking at percentage, not how much. The poor widow gave 100%. And then Zacchaeus, here comes the chief tax collector. He did not really seek Jesus like the young ruler did. The young ruler really came to our Lord seeking for eternal life. And Zacchaeus just want to take a look. Just want to take a look because everybody is just is a ruckus in Jericho. Everybody want to see what this Jesus look like. He was a short. He was hiding in the crowd. He cannot see Jesus. So he's smart. He was smart like a tax collector. He ran forward and climbed the sycamore tree. And if you go to Jericho today, they still have a chain, you know, a fenced up sycamore tree. They say this is where Zacchaeus climbed. It's true or not, it's not important. The important thing is he did climb up. He did see Jesus. And our Lord walked to the sycamore tree and look up, told him, Zacchaeus, come down. And tonight, I will lodge in your house. In your house. You can imagine, Jericho is a pretty sinful city. And Zacchaeus is a tax collector in a sinful city. Do you think he can do anything good? Yet salvation reached him. Amen. And he came down, welcomed our Lord and his disciples into his home. And many people are talking about, who is this Jesus? He's lodging with a sinner. Doesn't he know he's lodging with a sinful person? Guess what happened to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus just told the Lord, Lord, I give half of my possession to the poor. That's not finished up yet. So he did not wait until the Lord say, you need to give everything and then follow me in order to be perfect. He did it willingly. He said, I give half of my possession to the poor. If I coveted anybody or take by a false accusation, I return them fourfold. Saints, the four times is ordinance in the Old Testament. If you steal a bull, you need to return five bulls, five times. If you still take a lamb or sheep or goat, you need to return four times. So Zacchaeus that day, you think he still have anything left? Other than his salary, everything he had were taken by covetousness and false accusations. Since that day, there was a huge camel crossed the eye of a needle. Amen. Zacchaeus, what a silly person. Yet, this one entered into the kingdom, Amen. Received the salvation. Because our Lord said, today the salvation reached him. Because he is also a son of Abraham. Saints, we know this topic, you know, this is new. I want to see how many saints entered into the church life in the 60s sitting here. I know Brother Ed, right. 1966.
Yes.
I know Brother Ender here. He's not. Because any other saints who came to the church life in the 60s. Oh, Brother Michael, yeah, Brother Michael by then living in Westchester, right? And no. Praise the Lord. Anybody came into the church life in the 70s? Can you raise up your hands? Oh, praise the Lord. We have quite a few. How about in the 80s? Oh, we have more. We have more saints now. How about 90s? I came in late 90s, yeah. 2000s. Oh, we have more hands. Praise the Lord. The reason we want to have this series of messages says we want our legacy in the church, led by our senior brothers, will reach our younger generation. Because there is two sources in this universe. One is in eternity, that's our Lord. One is in time, yet usurped everything God created in the world. That's Satan. And we have only one heart. You can see this is a matter of worship. God versus a mammon. The other day we were talking about fellowshipping with some leading brothers. They say you go to a Chinese restaurant. The Chinese even worship God of wealth, or whatever you call it. And then a brother said, go to a restaurant, you see a cat. So I said, no, it doesn't matter. Whatever shape and form it shows is what's behind it. It doesn't matter if it's gold or silver, it's in dollar, in euro, or in pounds, or in whatever it is. Anything other than God is in totality is summarized in mammon. This mammon is of another source. And we know in Genesis 2, we see two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This whole world has been systematized, has been really departmentalized by Satan's usurpation. Everything has been placed a price tag. You know, one time I mentioned if you go to there, you go to app, you can calculate how much a certain person worth. Because they can calculate you based on your education, where you grew up, you know, how tall you are, how male or female. I mean, you just put in all those characteristics. You touch the buttons, you calculate. You will calculate how much you're worth. Since this world, the whole worldly system, has put on a price tag, and we have many young ones, you're growing up, because in Revelation 18, by the end, selling and buying souls, the whole world is doing the business. That's why even those people who are helping people finding jobs, they are called headhunters. It's like a jungle name, right? It's a jungle name. It's called a headhunters or soul hunters or soul traders. Since today, our younger generation, we are very much burdened because the world is becoming so subtle and so invisible. And the other day, a few young ones want to go out and have a meal. And I just kindly I say, okay, here's, you know, why don't you take this? They just look at me as if I'm out of another planet. Say, Uncle Peter, are you still using cash? I said, what's wrong with this? Uncle Peter, we use a Venmo. We just go out using Venmo. I said, oh, really? What's a Venmo? So they showed me how to load Venmo. Now I'm using Venmo as well. Brothers and sisters, our next generation, if we think we can load up with the with the cash or with the gold and silver. Now today the enemy become even more invisible and subtle. Those are things doesn't have to go through your hand. Yet we are totally taken over by the world system. And which is a past Black Friday. Now tomorrow is a Cyber Monday. You don't have to go out of your house. You don't have to go Black Friday. You don't have to do anything. Yet our heart, through our mind, through our eyes, were taken over by your phone, your pad. Everything is here. Since this is where our heart, we need to have such a competition and a warfare to take our heart back to the Lord. Amen. These days, there's so many younger generation, all of a sudden overnight, becomes millionaires, billionaires. Oh, it's all over the place. In this country, in the Far East, in Europe, some people design a simple app can become a millionaires overnight. The enemy has been drawing more and more of our younger generation to mammon worshiping. We need to elevate this matter to idol worshiping. Greediness is idol worshiping. Since that's why this is a series of messages, we hope many senior saints, many saints have been faithful in the church life. We hope, we pray that you give testimonies, because it's not really all we exposing all the saints. We don't want to do this. It is for the matter of the going on of the church life, and for the matter of passing our legacy to our next generation. Since we know in our church history, and we have been moving from Manhattan. Remember, we had meetings in Manhattan, and then later in Margaret House, and the latest in the early 60s late 50s and early 60s, we met in the American Legion Hall, which is around 170 and a hillside. So there, that's where our moving to Queens started. And then we bought this place in 1963. We bought one half of this place. There are two houses here. And before Bethel House was purchased, we bought this lot in 1963 for $43,000. Oh, you think $43,000 is not much. Hey, in 1963, is a lot of money. Because by then, not many saints are working. Not many saints are making a lot of money. Okay. And then we had a little over 130 saints at that time. So by 1965, we built our first meeting hall on this site. Where I'm standing now used to be a parking lot. It's not a paved parking lot. It's pebbles. I have pictures to prove it. We had no money to pave the parking lot. So the meeting hall was by the end of this hall, and including the entrance area. So that area, and there's a stairway, if you go in and take a look, that's the original. So you go down to the first floor, and our meeting area, you see our book room and our counter, all those wood, those oak, used to be the pews in our old meeting hall. And so later, we used those wood to build our book room, those shelves, and our counter. that hall can seat around 150 to 160. So if you come in late in the meeting, you have to stand or go downstairs. Because saints by then, they enjoy the church life so much. They come to the meeting 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 1 hour early in order to take a seat to enjoy the church life. In the 70s, our number reached about 250 to 270. That's around the middle 70s. And then after that, in 1977, 78, we had 150 or so young ones migrated out. And some returned, including Brother Dick and his family now, and Paul Olson and Timothy Hong. And by then, brothers like Harry, Brother Robert, they came to the church life. Oh, we had many saints lived in, what's that village called it? Greenwich Village. And we had many saints had a corporate government living in Greenwich Village. I need to get it clear, okay? In the 70s, our number decreased to about 120 again. But the Lord blessed us. So the number quickly returned. By 1981, our number reached almost 350 on Lord's Day. So that place is obviously not enough. So the brothers decided to expand this place to build the current hall. So this hall was commenced in October 1984. In between, in 1971, this time, is Sister Maria I still here? Are you sitting here, Sister Maria? I cannot see you. She was here this morning. I confirmed with her on some of the detailed history some time ago. And in 1971, the Lord had some offerings, because by then, I can tell you now because she gone through that history. There was a rumor because Brother Ni was imprisoned in China. Somebody mentioned there is something, some people, some organization, if you pay $100,000, they can try to bribe the system to release Brother Ni. Before, we never shared this because we are not sure about the history. But we confirmed it. It is true. It was true. So saints, in many places, mainly in New York City, come up with $100,000 within 2 weeks. And then the money was wired to Hong Kong. 2 months later, they returned the money, said, it's impossible to have Brother Ni released. So a few months later, we know Brother Ni passed away in prison. So we have the money, and the brothers made a decision to buy Downton House for $79,000. So that's where Downton House came about. So use Downton House. Brothers always, you know, saints may be asking, oh, we decided to sell it. If we use it, we're not going to sell it. Just take a full use of it. I'm sure the serving brothers will be very happy to see their house be put to full use. Amen. By the church life. Since in the past history, many, many faithful saints, they are really rooted in the church life. Give it all for the going on of the church life. When we decided to buy the meeting hall in the 34th Street, the agreed price was $2.3 million. And the Brother Ed before, and also Brother James, few times told the brothers, when they opened the offering box, many times they saw jewelry from the saints. Some senior saints deposited everything they have in the offering box. And they said many times they have to just pray so much to receive those treasures from their heart. There's one sister who served as a caretaker for a family for all her life. For all her life. When we buy that meeting hall, I'm sharing this because saints, I really encourage our senior saints who have been in the church life for decades to give your testimonies. Because this sister has passed away. And we do have one of his memorial booklet in the office. In 2002, 2003, and she got a hold of the word that we are buying a meeting hall in Manhattan. And we only have half of what's needed to secure the deal. And she has no family. Because her whole life, she never got married. She had no children, of course. She cared for three generations of one household. From mainland China to Taiwan to America. And the third generation, she cared, took what she had years ago to place in some secure investment. After all the decades, he accrued to over $1 million, a little over $1 million. And she fellowshiped with brothers, Brother James, Brother Ed, and Brother Benjamin, said, I heard there's a need to purchase the meeting hall. Here's the security. Everything is there. Brothers and sisters, that's how give it all really means to that sister. And when I flipped through her memorial, I didn't know the story. I was reading her whole life. She was so thrifty. She just saving up every penny. And I was asking Brother James, I said, who is this sister? And he welled up with the tears, said, sit down, let me tell you the story about this sister. We have so many testimonies in New York City. Saints, please, for the sake of the legacy of our saints gone before us, and for the generation coming after us, and particularly for this age, we need your testimonies. Because we're fighting for different worships. Serve God or serve mammon. There's no ambiguity. And personally, you know, I grew up very poor. And it's not easy to make a lot of money. But through the years in the church life, we followed patterns. We followed the testimonies. And it was in so many occasions and in so many needs, and we grasped the opportunity and pour out what we can. And the Lord has been so faithful. We can testify the Lord has been so faithful. And the word will keep opening up. Because we only have one heart. In Matthew 13:22, that's why we choose that verse. And we know our heart is just like a soil. Even though our Lord in the all-inclusive Christ is the soil. But our heart is a soil for him. And we are mutual soil. We grow in him and a hidden glory in our heart. However, there's one kind. It's not only hidden sins, but it's the competition from the world. Competition from anxiety. Competition from the bondage of wealth and treasures. And that's where our heart can choke up the growth of Christ. Many times we want no more of Christ. We want to receive and gain the full knowledge of Christ. But why a lot of times there's a hindrance? Because our heart is not fully for him. That's why he, a couple of times, he tells different people, you got to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. All heart, all soul, all mind, and all our strength. Since our heart should be fully open and possessed by our Lord. In 1 Timothy 6, was talking about our heart can be really pricked, can be pricked, suffer that much because of the greediness and where our heart take a possession by money. And money sounds like a dirty word, really, in the church life. But I want to take 2 minutes to tally saints what we have done in the past few years. So I mentioned the history of this hall and a little history of Hall 2. And we decided to purchase Hall 3 in 2015. In that business meeting in February in 2015, we decided to purchase Hall 3. But the final deal was not finished until almost June 2016. And then 2.5 years renovation followed. So that one, that one is going on since we propagated Hall 4 in 2014, in March. We have not had a meeting hall for Hall 4 yet. But in early 2017, February 26, we grew Hall 5. And then in the same year, we bought the meeting hall for Hall 5. And then by the end of 2017, December 3rd, we had a Hall 7, Hall 8 all opened up on the same day. On October 1st, 2017, Hall 6 grew out of Hall 2. And then we bought 2 halls in 2018 for Hall 7 and Hall 8. Now, this year, we grew Hall 9 on September 8th. And before this, we secured Hall 9 in Staten Island. Since even though we sold Hall 2 temporarily, and last August, we rented it back, and we are in the process gonna buy the first 2 floors because the developer is our brother now. He decided to apply for a second egress. Now it's approved, and we're gonna have the second egress, so we're gonna buy the first 2 floors back. And we're in the process, the final process, purchasing the meeting hall for Hall 4, which is right across the gate from Brooklyn College. For all of this, I can tell you, saints, we have enough money. Can you believe it? So this fellowship, don't take it as asking the ones sitting here for money. Saints, why we have so many meeting halls, so many saints are faithfully giving, caring for the church life, for us have no lacking whatsoever. And we bought the camp, KPCC camp, with a lot of help from saints. And now the camp has been serving the churches so well. And even given church in New York City, our summer school of truth since we began to use that camp in 2016, has been growing 25% every year. Now this year, our total number in the Summer School of Truth reached 570. There's no way we can host the SST like it was before. So we decided the next year, we're gonna have 9 days for high schoolers, and then 5 to 6 days for middle schools. So we hope this year, next year, the number will reach 600 or more. Since the blessing is going on with the going on with of the church. And we think the Lord is really working through the faithful prayers, the faithful service, and also faithful givings. So since we hope these messages is not becoming a topic of anything worldly, we hope this topic is a salvation. It's a salvation to turn our views, to turn our hearts, and particularly this world. You know, even though you think the worldly system is just it's a way of our living. Yes, it is. But we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are in the world, but we don't belong to the world. The Lord had a very clear speaking. You can see this actually, mammon, riches, is a big, you know, is a word discussed many times in the whole Bible. And Paul was very practical, if you think. And in the book of Philippians, in 2 Corinthians, he mentioned it many times. Okay, even in the book of Galatians, when Peter, James, and John, the pillars, shook hands with Paul, even tell him to take care of the poor, to give to the poor. And in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13, and it's also talking about sharing with the saints. Brothers and sisters, we hope these messages will give us a fresh view of how to go on in the church life, particularly lead our next generation, even our young people sitting here today. And may your going on with the Lord with a pure heart, with the simplicity in the Lord. So we hope and leave time for the saints. You can share and you can give testimonies. Amen.
When we heard about Hall 2, we heard negative things. Oh, it's right by the exit of the tunnel, and there's this and that, and it was holiday time, we let it go. When we brothers went and saw that place, it was clear. The Lord told us, this is it. So, we were short a lot of money we did not have. So we heard lots of rumors. Come on, brothers, just get a loan. What's the big deal? We'll help you pay it every month. It seemed to come from all over the place. So we brothers got together. We just looked at each other. It was so clear. The Lord told us to get this place, He will provide.
Amen. Amen.
And sure, He did. I would also like to ask a question. If the Lord wants to deal with our money, if you consider in the Bible, according to the Lord's desire, according to what He wants, what would you say is Christ to us? Anyone? What is the topmost point? Well, to save time, bridegroom, because He's the bridegroom. He wants our heart.
Amen. Amen.
So the issue is not dollars and cents. It's our heart.
Amen.
May he have our heart.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.